Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. I have an incredibly special guest tonight. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it in just a second. But what a glorious day, right? I mean, this is what we all live down here for. This was the end of summer and the beginning of spring and winter, and it just felt so refreshing. I hope you had as good a day as I did. If you're listening on 95.9, you're in the Palm Beaches, 106.9, of course, on the Treasure Coast. We can't thank you enough for deciding to spend a little bit of your time with us tonight. You know, Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's are, in fact, two very different conditions, but together they affect thousands of people in this audience. And our guest tonight is intimately involved in both of those chronic conditions. Dr. Arif Dalvi is here, and to say that he's an expert in both of these conditions is an understatement. I'll explain in a bit. More with Dr. Dalvi in just a minute. While I have you listening, though, I'm going to keep on pounding this until you all get the message. Vaccine, get vaccinated. It's so important. It saved lives. The holidays are coming. Don't you want to be with all of your friends and family and loved ones and enjoy it without fear? The way to do that is to get vaccinated. So please, please do that. The other thing is the elections are over. Let's stop talking about it. We'll worry about it next year. Everybody go back to having a good time and enjoying the growing freedoms that we're beginning to experience because you all got vaccinated. And let's get out there and do that. The other thing is I have a very special guest coming up in a couple of weeks, December 6th, I think it is, the first Monday in December. I spoke with her tonight. State Representative Dana Tribolsi is going to be here. She just finished committee meetings in Tallahassee. She has a lot to tell us about what's going on in our community, and she's excited to be coming on, and we're going to be talking to her about all the things that are important to you. So mark it on your calendar, December 6th, State Representative Dana Tribolsi. But now to my guest, because that's what you're listening in for tonight. Let me tell you a little bit more about Dr. Dalvi. He graduated medical school from the Rural Medical College and Provara Institute of Medical Sciences. He did his internship at Huron Hospital at Cleveland Clinic. He did his residency at the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine. He did his fellowship at Columbia University School of Public Health. He is board certified in neurology. And he is right here in Boynton Beach, and he is the medical director of the St. Mary's Memory Disorder Center. So I think with that background, you all know that we have a very special guest here tonight who has a lot of information about things that if they're not affecting you, they're affecting someone you know. So welcome back to the show, Dr. Dalvi. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it has been far too long, but I'm glad that you're back. So most people know, I'm sure you don't like to be praised like this. Most people think of you as the go-to Parkinson's guy in Palm Beach County. I've known that for a long time. But I think few people really understood that you were also the medical director at the Memory Disorder Center at St. Mary's. So why don't we talk about that first? Because that's really kind of an unknown jewel in this area.
So the reason I got involved with memory disorders is that Parkinson's disease and memory disorders, they have a lot in common. In fact, they are grouped under a category that is called neurodegenerative diseases. Neurons in different parts of the brain start to die out. If they die out in the substantia nigra, you lose your dopamine, and that causes Parkinson's. If they die out in other areas of the brain that deals with acetylcholine, they lead to memory disorders such as Alzheimer's. So they're very linked together. And there's also a similar component of infrastructure that is required to take care of these patients. So it was kind of the logical next step to build upon the Parkinson's program to add the Memory Disorder Center.
That's great. So Now, you're not doing Alzheimer's clinical research at St. Mary's. So what does the Memory Center focus its activities on?
So, yes, we are doing clinical research.
I didn't know that.
But it's not the typical clinical trials-based research. As you know, there's been a lot of work done in that area with respect to amyloid-related medications for Alzheimer's. But what we are trying to do is expand further with truly novel technologies. You know, we've discussed this before. The state of Florida has some of the highest incidence of Alzheimer's in all of the United States. And the folks in Tallahassee under Governor DeSantis, I think they're paying attention to this fact. And in fact, they've funded some innovative research that we are part of, which is called focused ultrasound. I'll talk to you a lot more about it with respect to Parkinson's, but the application with respect to clinical research in Alzheimer's disease is that many of the Alzheimer's drugs have failed, and one reason is they might not be crossing the blood-brain barrier in an adequate amount. So between your bloodstream and the fluid in your brain, there's literally a cellular barrier that a lot of these drugs don't penetrate. And in order to make them penetrate, we have to use such high doses that they oftentimes lead to side effects. So what we are trying to do with this research is to break down temporarily the blood-brain barrier so that these drugs can get across and have a more beneficial effect. It's very early days for that research, but we are the first in the state of Florida to be actually collaborating with a company out of Israel called Insightech. And with also with Florida Atlantic University. So it's really a complex project that we've put together in a very innovative fashion to help people with Alzheimer's disease.
It's amazing. And we didn't really talk about this in preparation because I was listening really carefully. Is this strictly Alzheimer's focused or all of the panoply of dementias? And is this at all related to the new Biogen IDEC drug, and is that totally not connected?
So a lot of questions in that single question, so I'll try to break it down a bit by bit.
Right.
At the moment, this trial is focused with using low-frequency ultrasound specifically for Alzheimer's disease. In fact, part of the requirement to enroll in the trial will be prior imaging with amyloid PET imaging so that we can confirm there's a high likelihood of Alzheimer's pathology being present in the brain. In the future, this low-frequency ultrasound has many other applications for other drugs. In fact, in the future, potentially it could even expand into treating brain tumors for the exact same reason that a lot of the chemotherapy drugs that are very helpful for cancers in the body don't reach the brain in adequate amounts. So there's a lot of potential there. But on the other hand, we've also been very active with a little different variation of focused ultrasound called high-frequency ultrasound, and we participated in a clinical trial called PD-006, which was designed to prove its relevance in Parkinson's. And in fact, it was an international study with universities such as Stanford and UPenn, and we were the highest recruiters in the entire international community for this trial.
Wow.
And in fact, the data we submitted has just as of a week ago led to FDA approval for this technology. So we can now offer it outside of clinical trials to patients who have a need for this in Parkinson's disease.
So let's, since we've kind of bridged the gap to Parkinson's, is this for everybody with Parkinson's? It has to have some specificity in its application.
Sure. So one of the things you got to remember is Parkinson's disease ideally is not something that you need surgical treatment for, whether it is deep brain stimulation or whether it is the newer technology of focused ultrasound. We try to manage things medically, and there's a lot of research on the medical side as well that allows us to use medical treatment for longer and longer. But if you look at the progression of Parkinson's over the years, it's not a straight line. There's a 5 to 7 year period, I like to call it the honeymoon period, where all you're doing is, you know, when the patient comes in for a follow-up and they say their symptoms are worse, maybe we increase the dose of their Sinemet or add on another medication that makes it work a bit better. But at a certain point in time, there's a much more rapid acceleration of the condition, and you need higher and higher doses more and more frequently. The doses start to have dose failures. Some of them don't kick in. There's a lot of on-off fluctuation. The tremor might be out of control, and it's not controlled by medication. So the symptoms become intractable to just pure medication management. You don't want to wait for end-stage Parkinson's, because if you wait for end-stage Parkinson's, the dementia component sets in and we cannot offer any surgical treatment, whether it's deep brain stimulation or focused ultrasound. Now, the differences between deep brain stimulation and focused ultrasound, I think even today, DBS remains the gold standard surgical treatment. It's the most robust. I personally have experience with patients that I've been following for 15 plus years. We implanted them in Chicago. They see me once in 6 months. I do a little adjustment for their DBS because you can keep pace with the progression of the disease state with DBS. But what focused ultrasound allows us to do is that we don't have to install hardware, so we don't need to drill a burr hole, put a pacemaker. In fact, the surgery, and it is brain surgery, but it's not done in an operating room. The patient is an MRI scanner, and they're awake for about 4 hours because we have to test them. We have to check their tremor, their muscle tone, and the like. And by doing that, we're able to address an area of the brain that is responsible for these symptoms. And bit by bit, over the course of 3 to 4 hours, we slowly expand a lesion in the brain so that we can get control of these symptoms. So there are a lot of pros and cons, but what I would suggest to people is that if you have had Parkinson's for at least 5 years, and if you feel your medications, which were doing a great job for the first 3 or 4 years, they're fading away a bit, come and talk to us, because our goal is to lay out the menu before you of these options, which can include improving and optimizing your medications. It can include deep brain stimulation. It can include focused ultrasound. So my goal as a physician is not to decide for you. It's to help you choose among these options to find the option that suits you best.
And would it be fair to say that every patient is different depending upon where they are at the stage of the disease and what they're experiencing? Or are these treatments, both DBS, and I want to drill down on some DBS later, but and the focused ultrasound, do they have applicability to all patients?
So essentially, almost every person who's a candidate for DBS because of Parkinson's is a candidate for focused ultrasound, and vice versa. What I would say, though, is there are folks who have very severe symptoms, especially along the side of not so much just tremor, but muscle rigidity and the like. I would probably lean a bit more towards DBS for them. Whereas if tremor is the main symptom and really that is what is most of their disability, then focused ultrasound might be a less invasive option because there's no hardware installation or anything of that sort. One way to also look at it is that one can precede the other, but only in one direction. In the sense that if you have focused ultrasound today for control of your tremor, if later other symptoms like rigidity and gait disorder start to develop, we could offer you a DBS for that as a next step. You can't do it the other way around because remember, you have to be in an MRI scanner for about 4 hours or so. And if you have a pacemaker, which is what the DBS device is, you cannot have a 4-hour MRI by definition. So I think there are different ways of staging these treatments. And again, like I tell you, if you're considering surgical treatment, come to us so that we can really discuss all of these pros and cons with respect to you as an individual patient and then help you make the choice.
And if there's no implanted device for focused ultrasound, how do you imagine? What is there?
Absolutely. That's a very, very relevant question. So at its simplest, you know, all of us, when we were kids, we had a magnifying glass and we went out in the sunlight and there was a leaf and we focused the sun's rays and you had a little fire on that leaf coming up because the rays are targeted to a fine point. What we are doing is we are using ultrasound rays and targeting them to a fine point in the brain. So when I started out with surgical treatment when I was at Columbia Presbyterian, we were doing pallidotomy. That was the technique at that time. And we were actually drilling a borehole, putting a probe in the brain, and then instead of putting a DBS wire in, we were actually making a small stroke in the brain, a lesion in the brain, which was called a radiofrequency lesion. So that's where the surgical treatment of Parkinson's in its modern form started. But then we realized that we can do it without making a lesion and have a more reversible way of doing it, which is deep brain stimulation, which was a big advance, and it remains a big advance. And there are a lot of developments in DBS as well that we can talk about. But I think what we have also learned is that there might be some patients who are otherwise, because of other medical conditions, for example, more physically frail, and they might not handle the requirements of DBS surgery, including putting in the pacemaker, the anesthesia required for that. So this might be a more convenient way to do the same procedure. The reason why it works is the brain is basically a collection of circuits. And in Parkinson's, there are two circuits called the indirect and the direct pathways that are usually in balance. But in Parkinson's, the indirect pathway in particular becomes way too active. And that's where it leads to muscle stiffness, slow movements. So if we are able to zap those neurons, we are able to control those symptoms. Same thing goes for tremor cells. There are certain areas of the brain where when we map the brain, we can actually listen to these tremor cells that match exactly the frequency of the tremor. So in essence, we are zapping these cells so that they don't form an abnormal function and restore the normalcy of that patient.
And because it's just out of clinical trial here, but has been tested around the world, do we have a sense that this is a long-term solution, or is it too early to know that yet?
So the clinical trials for essential tremor, people who have tremor but who don't have Parkinson's disease, that was where it was first tested. And we have data going out around 5 years. And we have looked at the five-year data. And while there is some return towards the baseline, there's still a sustained improvement in terms of tremor. So part of the first trial that we did, which, as I mentioned, we submitted to the FDA, we will be following these patients again for a period of 5 years, and we will be seeing how much of a return there is to baseline. So I do feel, you know, based on my experience with pallidotomy, thalamotomy, the older techniques, there will be some fade back. And unlike DBS, you cannot adjust it. There's no touch-up surgery like a touch-up LASIK surgery, for example. This is a one-and-done procedure. But again, there is always a possibility that if symptoms come back enough to being back to that baseline that led to the surgery in the first place, we can always offer them DBS surgery at
right.
that point.
And you did mention earlier that there are many new developments in DBS, and we're going to get to that as soon as we come back. If you're just tuning in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Arif Dalvi, who is clearly, if you've been listening, an expert in both Parkinson's and in Alzheimer's disease, being the medical director at Alzheimer's Memory Disorder Center at St. Mary's and being part of the Palm Beach Neuroscience Group, an expert in Parkinson's disease, DBS surgery, and now this new focused ultrasound, which we've been talking about. There are a lot of developments in DBS that we're going to talk about. There's a couple of other things we have in store for you as well. But if you have questions for Dr. Dalvi or for myself, you can call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
Hi, I'm Laura Oliveris, the president of Silver Solutions, the senior-focused home services company. Unfortunately, COVID-19 continues to be a reality for too many of us. But thankfully, every day, more and more of our older adults are getting protected by the vaccine. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on protecting older adults as well, from safety improvements to downsizing to emptying the home after the loss of your loved one. Silver Solutions is here to help you move forward with ease and confidence. To find out more, call us today at 877-AGE-SAFE. That's 877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our team is bonded, insured, and follows rigorous CDC guidelines, including the full use of PPE. Life can bring the unexpected, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on us, Silver Solutions.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us tonight, and what a special night we have for you. Dr. Arif Dalvi is here from Palm Beach Neuroscience and the medical director from Alzheimer's Memory. We're talking about Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. We're talking about some of the latest developments and a new treatment. As you know, if you're a regular listener, we're here every Monday night from 6 to 7, talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. None of those issues are more serious than the growing rate of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease, particularly in the state of Florida, where about 10% of each of those reside. It seems like a fairly large number because it's a fairly large number. We were talking in the previous segment mostly about focused ultrasound, which is a new and really exciting development in the treatment of Alzheimer's disease Parkinson's disease and some Alzheimer's disease. But DBS, as Dr. Dalvi said in the previous segment, is the gold standard in treatment for Parkinson's disease. And there are some new developments in DBS, right, Dr. Dalvi?
So, you know, just like your iPhone today is an iPhone similar to the first iPhone that came out, and yet it's not the same. There's so much new that's built into the new phones today that wasn't possible in those days. Same thing goes for DBS. It's a tried and tested technology. We've been doing it since 1997 when it was first approved by the FDA. But the devices today are so much better. In fact, the newest devices come with a couple of advantages. One is their battery life, meaning the time between your first placement and the time that you need to replace the pacemaker, instead of being 3 years or 4 years, now is more like 7 years or 10 years.
Wow.
So that is one advantage. The second advantage is, you know, like they say about real estate, it's location, 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 right? It's the same thing with the DBS electrode. If it is placed beautifully, it doesn't matter what the pacemaker is. You know, every pacemaker is going to give you the same benefit. But if it is placed a little bit off, and we're talking about a millimeter, maybe 2 millimeters away from the optimum target, then the newer electrodes, they have what is called as directional electrodes. So we can compensate for that small 1 millimeter, 2 millimeter error by actually beaming the electric current in different directions so that we are now able to go back and reach that spot that we meant to target in the first place. So that really helps us reduce any temporary side effects you may have, like tingling and numbness, or some facial sensations or double vision and the like. So we can program those side effects away and give you the full benefit. So that is one big improvement. And the third thing that has happened is before, you know, when I would see you for my programming visit, all I saw was your clinical improvement or lack thereof, and I would adjust accordingly. The new technology, it's called BrainSense, actually allows us to record brain potentials in real time. Wow. So that I can actually assess what your brain is doing based on the setting changes that I make. It's called Percept, which is a clever name because it's really perceiving what's going on in your brain. So there are a lot of new developments. There's also hope in the near future that we might be even be able to do some of the simple programming changes in the form of televisits. So a telehealth approach to deep brain stimulation. Wow. So a tremendous amount of changes just in the last 2 years that we are able to offer the same tried and tested DBS with all of these improvements.
So not everybody knows what DBS cures, and many Parkinson's sufferers think they might be eligible for DBS, and they're not. So we can talk. Can we talk about who benefits, who doesn't benefit, and what are we trying to cure with it?
So DBS does not cure a thing. So one way of looking at it is not as a cure, but as a way of setting the clock back on your disease state. So if you have Parkinson's today and we put in a DBS device, you're still going to have Parkinson's, but the kind you had 5 years ago or 7 years ago. So you're setting the clock back. Your symptoms become milder. Your response to medications becomes more predictable. I would say of three or four things to keep in mind before considering DBS. I would say a duration of at least 5 years. There are studies that allow for early DBS in people who have had Parkinson's only for 3 years or 4 years, but I would wait at least 5 years of best medical treatment before you're considering DBS. The second thing is tremor. Even though carbidopa, levodopa, Sinemet is the gold standard even today, even though it came out in the 70s. And it's a very effective medication and continues to remain effective long-term for Parkinson's, but it's not the best medication at controlling tremor. There are some patients with Parkinson's who, no matter how much levodopa you give them or how much add-on medications you give them, their tremor just refuses to come under control, and it's very disabling. So they are good candidates for DBS, as are people with essential tremor who don't have the other symptoms of Parkinson's, but their tremor is very disabling. They make excellent candidates for DBS. People who have random on-offs. So usually, you know, once that honeymoon period ends, you will see people who take their dose at 8 o'clock and 12 o'clock and 4 o'clock. By the time 11 o'clock comes around, they have a little more tremor. They're a little more stiff. They have a little more trouble walking. That's a predictable end of dose wearing off. What would you do for that? You would move from a 3-times-a-day schedule to a 4-times-a-day schedule. Who needs surgery if you can do that? But there are people who start to have random fluctuations. They're out with their grandkids, they're going to the mall, and suddenly they get frozen to the point where they got to call 911 just to get home. If you're having those kind of sudden on-off fluctuations, random on-off fluctuations, if you're having a lot of freezing of gait where you start to walk and then suddenly you get stuck in a doorway or in an elevator, that's another possibility for you to consider deep brain stimulation. In short, I would say once that nice, smooth, predictable response to medications wears off, it's time to think about surgery. I've had patients where we've talked about surgery at that point, which is the correct point to discuss surgery, and I said, there's no urgency. It's not a brain tumor. You don't need the surgery today. Think about it, read about it. We have patients who have had the surgery done here, talk to them about it, and they come back in 3 months and they say, well, you know, I still want to think some more. And I say, that's fine. It's right. Your brain. It's your body. You make the decision. And they come back 6 months and a year and 2 years later with the same exact conversation. And then, unfortunately, they reach the quote unquote advanced Parkinson's disease stage. And then they say, now I'm ready. But by then, their it's clinical condition, effective. Both in terms of physical symptoms as well as in terms of difficulties like memory disorders, has progressed to the point where we cannot offer surgery. So it's not something for early Parkinson's, but don't wait till you're quote-unquote advanced either.
So we have an expression when people are thinking about going into assisted living, et cetera. You know, I'm not ready yet. What does ready look like? And and that's the optimal question. If you're just tuning in, I'm having a fascinating conversation with Dr. Arif Dalvi. We're talking about Parkinson's disease. We're talking about deep brain stimulation, focused ultrasound. We also talked a little bit about Alzheimer's disease, as he is the medical director of the St. Mary's Memory Disorder Center. He's with Palm Beach Neurosurgery. Palm Beach Neuroscience. We have so much more to talk about, and we will. But if you have questions for Dr. Dalvi, feel free to give us a call, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were stationed might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us tonight. Thank you for joining us. Tonight, Dr. Arif Dalvi is here, who is probably one of the, if not the number one noted Parkinson's experts here in Palm Beach County. Also, medical director of the Memory Disorder Center at St. Mary's. So he's an expert in both Alzheimer's and in Parkinson's disease, neurocognitive, neurodegenerative diseases that are somewhat related, but not totally related. So there's real interesting dichotomy there. And we've talked a little bit about that so far. But as we were talking about DBS and focused ultrasound more in the context of Parkinson's disease, Dr. Dalvi, levodopa is the gold standard, as you said, for medication. Explain the medications in the treatment of Parkinson's disease, because it's really a very rigid protocol, correct?
Yes and no, in the sense, as we already discussed, no two patients with Parkinson's are alike. Their needs are different. Their symptoms are different. So we really have to tailor medications to the individual patient. The good news on the Parkinson's side is, even though levodopa, even today, remains the gold standard, there's a lot of adjunct medications that we can use to help support it, to optimize it, and so on. Somebody got a Nobel Prize in the year 2000, a gentleman by the name of Arvid Carlson, for his work in 1957 on dopamine. And he did an experiment on rabbits. He gave them a medication called reserpine that depletes the brain of dopamine. And these rabbits, they began to shake. They had tremor. They became slow. They became stiff. And he said, oh, they remind me of somebody with Parkinson's. And he gave them L-DOPA as an injection. And right away, they perked up. And he was smart enough to realize that there's some potential here for the treatment of Parkinson's. So L-DOPA, which is levodopa by another name, which then was compounded with carbidopa and became Sinemet, which is also a clever term. Sin in Latin means without. Emet comes from emesis or vomiting. So once you combine carbidopa with levodopa, you don't vomit as a side effect. So Sinemet even today remains the main drug that we use for Parkinson's. And the reason why it's helpful is because that levodopa crosses that blood-brain barrier and becomes converted into dopamine. So imagine you had a pill for diabetes. This is a pill for Parkinson's. We don't have to give shots. The trouble with levodopa is it's short-acting. Half of it is gone in about an hour. So in the early stages, it doesn't matter because your brain still has a lot of dopamine-producing terminals that release natural dopamine, but also buffer the levodopa that we give on the outside and then release it more steady state. But as the years go by, your dopamine terminals die out, your dopamine stores become less and less, this buffering capacity is lost, and you start to have these on-off fluctuations. Initially predictable, and those are relatively easy to address. You increase the dose or you add on a medication that extends the duration of action of levodopa. But then at some point in time, the fluctuations start to become random and much more disabling. And that's when we are talking about surgical treatments as well. One thing that patients often ask me about is the timing with respect to food. And there's actually a transporter in the gut that picks up amino acids. So if you have a high protein diet that's broken down into amino acids and that transporter is picking up the amino acids to get into your bloodstream, that exact same transporter picks up the levodopa. So only so many people fit on a bus and poor levodopa gets left behind. So that can lead to dose failures and the like. Now, having said that, there are some patients who so obsess over before food, after food, and you know the timing of things that itself is a disservice to them. So what I explain to patients is, ideally, if you can take your levodopa an hour before mealtimes, it's probably the best way to do it. But if mealtime comes around, you're going to lose 10 or 20% efficacy. It's not going to be completely lost. So don't obsess too much over the timing. But if you remember it, you can take it an hour before mealtimes would be the best way to do it.
You know, we haven't talked about symptoms and diagnosis at all. Not all Parkinson's patients exhibit the same symptomology. And there are a lot of things that look like Parkinson's mm-hmm. that aren't Parkinson's. In preparation for tonight, I guess one of the primary diagnostic tools is a DAT scan, which I don't know very much about, admittedly.
Sure, sure.
But you've noticed that sometimes even very small doses of levodopa can help people who have negative DAT scans. Am I saying that correctly?
So DAT scan stands for dopamine transporter scan. So the idea is that these cells that produce dopamine, because they die out, the dopamine transporter molecule is a reflection of that. So people with essential tremor, they may have a terrible tremor, but their DAT scan will be normal. People may have mild Parkinson's, but the DAT scan will be abnormal. Not only will it be abnormal, it will be asymmetrically abnormal because Parkinson's usually affects one side more than the other. So if your right hand is shaking, your left side on the DAT scan image will show the deficiency. Having said that, there's a term in the medical literature, it's called SWED, scans without evidence of dopaminergic deficit. And there's a lot of concepts around this term, but I've seen many, many patients whose DAT scans have been reported as normal, but who respond quite nicely to levodopa and stay responsive for 5 years, 7 years, indicating that they have levodopa-responsive Parkinsonism. They have the tremor, rigidity, akinesia, posture and gait changes, and they respond to levodopa. So if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. So I don't rely on DAT scan. I don't necessarily order a DAT scan on every single one of my patients who's come in for an evaluation of tremor or for suspicion of Parkinson's. I rely on the clinical diagnosis and the response to levodopa or similar medications more than the DAT scan. There are some situations where there's diagnostic confusion. They might have had a CT or an MRI where there's ventriculomegaly. So is this normal pressure hydrocephalus or is it Parkinson's? DAT scan can be useful in such cases of diagnostic uncertainty. One unfortunate part about DAT scan is it doesn't help distinguish typical Parkinson's disease from atypical forms like diffuse Lewy body disease. The DAT scan will say you have Parkinsonism. It won't say whether you have idiopathic Parkinson's, which is the garden variety, much more treatable form, or the atypical form. So again, that's one more reason why it's not part of my standard practice to order it on every patient.
And with that, we're going to tell you how you can reach Dr. Dalvey to find out exactly what's going on with you. But we're going to do that as soon as we come back. In the meantime, of course, I'm here with Dr. Arif Dalvey from the Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute and from St. Mary's Memory Disorder Center. We're going to tell you how you can reach Dr. Dalvey as soon as we come back. But if you'd like to reach him now, you can call 877-960-9960. It's 877-960-9960.
Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO of Silver Solutions, the senior-focused company that works like a family for all of your mom and dad's home-related needs as they age. From keeping them safely in their current home, to managing a downsizing or relocation to assisted living, to emptying a home and distributing the family's treasures after the loss of a loved one. Silver Solutions is there to help families move forward with ease and confidence. If you're worried about your aging parents' safety at home, or you're an older adult concerned about losing your independence, give us a call today at 1-877-8 Age Safe. That's 1-877-AGESAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com for a free consultation. We're bonded, insured, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines on all jobs, including the use of full PPE. You can't stop the aging process, but with Silver Solutions, you can make growing older safer and less stressful for the whole family.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight here with Dr. Arif Dalvey. I told you I would give you his contact information, and so I hope you have a pencil handy, because you can reach him at P like Peter, B like boy, N like Nancy, I like Irene, PBNI.com, or you can call their main number at 561 882-6214. So that's pbni.com. And the phone number is 561-882-6214. And that is the Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute, which I can't recommend highly enough. They really are doing remarkable work in a bunch of disciplines. But if Parkinson's disease in particular is something that you are struggling with, unsure of, want more information about, I encourage you to reach out to Dr. Dalvey there. But his other role, the other hat he wears, is as the medical director at the Memory Center at St. Mary's. And as we talked about early in the show, Dr. Dalvey, St. Mary's is often unfairly maligned, or people don't give it the credit it deserves. And I don't want to do an infomercial for St. Mary's, but they're really doing kind of a lot of remarkable work, including yours, right?
I would say it's a place with a heart of gold. And I think the heart of gold is the physicians who work there. Sometimes you can have an exterior that might be a throwback to the 1950s, but if the physicians are state of the art, that's what counts. You know, if I look at my colleagues on the stroke side, Dr. Malik at St. Mary's up north, Dr. Miller at Delray Medical Center down south, the lives they've saved had no business being alive. Not only that, the outcomes they've provided to those folks, it is just phenomenal work that they do on the endovascular side. Our epilepsy experts, Dr. Muniz, Dr. Hernandez, the way they identify and diagnose epilepsy with epilepsy monitoring units, again, it's a different level of care that they're providing. So I'm really proud to be associated with colleagues at that high level.
No, it's and I know there are three other areas that you didn't mention. One, I have intimate familiarity with. Paley is doing remarkable orthopedic work, probably around the world, world-renowned, and Palm Beach County hardly known, but that's great.
Absolutely. I had a patient the other day who came to me for foot dystonia referred by Paley. She had come all the way from India.
Right.
You know, and so there's a reason people make those travels.
Dr. Lamb for feet, and my wife, who's sitting here, is having her knee replaced at Paley on Monday. Of course, their level one trauma center and their OBGYN is world renowned, which is really kind of remarkable. I mentioned when we were talking about preparation that it's my sense that we're seeing a greater prevalence of diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease, and you corrected me of my misdiagnosis of the problem, but is there a reason that that's happening? Is it just truthfully that we are getting older, or do we have better diagnostics in both areas? Or
I think probably the most prominent reason is the title of your book. You know, I'm growing older and so is my mom. I think the American demographic is reaching that age group, especially the so-called baby boom generation, where we are likely to have Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, stroke, and the like. So most of it is that. Some of it, yes, is better diagnosis, more awareness about Parkinson's disease. I don't really buy so much that it is related to specific environmental causes or 5G or all of the conspiracy theories out there. I think it's more than anything, it's a simple demographic problem. But again, that speaks to the importance of leadership nationally and at the state level being aware of this and helping support the work we're doing. So especially the St. Mary's Memory Disorder Center, for example, because it's funded by the state of Florida, we are able to provide a social worker as part of our practice. So that, you know, especially Alzheimer's disease is not just a disease of the patient, it's a disease of the family. So the social worker helps the families connect with support groups, with the Alzheimer's Association, and really optimize ways in which they can care for their family member.
You know, I think you would agree that early diagnosis in both of these disciplines, both in the world of Alzheimer's and memory disorder and in Parkinson's, early diagnosis is critical to getting kind of ahead of the curve. While there are no cures for either. There are treatments and lifestyle changes that can impact the roadmap that these diseases are going down. But people are so afraid of these diseases. Can you give them any confidence more than me to come in and get diagnosed?
I think there are so many reasons for an early diagnosis and even more important, an accurate diagnosis. The reason is that if you start patients on an appropriate treatment regimen early on, their potential for maintaining quality of life 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road is so much higher. So accurate diagnosis and proper early treatment makes a big difference in how these patients will do 10 to 15 years down the road. On the Alzheimer's front, we are seeing the first sort of glimmer of hope. It's not a huge glimmer of hope, but at least it's a start with Aduhelm, which has been FDA approved. It's going to be applicable only to a very small subset of very mild, very early Alzheimer's disease patients that will have to be very carefully selected. And it has its own host of issues related to requirement of MRI monitoring to look for any causes complications such as bleeding in the brain. So that's a start that we've made in the Alzheimer's world. But even if it were not for that medication, I think getting the families an awareness of the disease state and accurate diagnosis and potential disease progression allows them to plan for the future in a way that makes sense to them.
And we are finding out, we absolutely are getting confirmation that lifestyle changes impacts the progression in the world of Alzheimer's, that you can really slow the progression down.
I like to joke, but it's hardly a joke. I like to joke that if I could bottle exercise and sell it as a pill, I would be a very rich man.
Well, I
think that is, whether it's Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, it is the number one thing you can do as a preventive is physical exercise.
It's amazing. If you're just tuning in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. You know, if you're a regular listener, that we're here every Monday night from 6 to 7 talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. If you're a new listener that just happened to find us, we're here every Monday night from 6 to 7 talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents, and we're glad that you found us. We have a lot to talk about. We don't always talk to physicians, but we do often. We have a lot of stuff coming up. If you tuned in late to this show and you're sorry that you weren't here at the beginning because you know somebody who may be struggling with Parkinson's disease or have questions about DBS or focused ultrasound or Alzheimer's disease, and you're sorry you missed the show, I have great news for you. You don't have to miss it because we will podcast it tomorrow, so you can listen right from the beginning. All you have to do is search OMG, I'm getting, up we will pop. I encourage you to do that. However, if podcasting is not your thing, and as many of you know, it's not mine, but if it's not yours, you can go to my website, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. How do we spell Comfort Care, friends? C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. Do not put that T in there because it will not get to us. So you do palmbeach.comfortcare.com. And tonight's radio show and the many others we've done over the 10 years that we've now been doing the radio show are still there. So I encourage you to do that. So either podcast, OMG, I'm getting, or go to our radio, website, palmbeach.comfortcare. Of course, there is no excuse to have to listen tomorrow because if you have a smartphone, and we all do, right? iHeartRadio app. Just download it. Set a reminder to listen to True Oldies, FLA, True Oldies in the Palm Beaches, every Monday night at 6 o'clock, and we'll be there. And we simulcast on the web, TrueOldiesFLA.com. So there's no excuse for you ever to miss the show, but you can pick us up anytime that you'd like. Next week, my wife, many of you know Irene, you've heard me talk about her all the time, she's having her knee replaced next Monday. So we're going to replay a show that was on about 6 or 8 weeks ago. Dr. Jessica McCain's going to talk about medical marijuana. A lot of people have a lot of questions about that. I got a lot of feedback from that show. It was very interesting. I encourage you to tune in if you missed it. Medical marijuana next week. In 2 weeks, I'm going to talk to the holidays are coming. And what happens at the holidays? A lot of depression, a lot of mental strain and stress. We're going to talk to Dr. Darling from Delray Hospital. We're going to talk about how you can prepare properly for the holidays and keep your mental health as stress-free as is possible. So I encourage you to listen to that. More on that next week. In the meantime, in the few minutes that I have left, you know, Dr. Dalvey, Florida doesn't lead the world in a lot of things, but we really do have in Governor DeSantis somebody who's really committed to the areas of specialty that you focus on, both Parkinson's and Alzheimer's disease. And he has created some funding that I know that you'd like to talk a little bit about.
So number one, Governor DeSantis is funding through the state of Florida the memory care centers that are scattered all the way from the Panhandle down to Miami. So I think that in itself is a big boon, not just, as I mentioned, to patients, but also to families. I think one other interesting approach Governor DeSantis has taken is, unlike the clinical trials world, which is secure on its own part through pharmaceutical funding, he's funding some innovative research, which, again, in the form of focused ultrasound, is one way that we are approaching it, to sort of think out of the box to find new ways of addressing Alzheimer's other than the simple clinical trial approach that has gone on for the last few decades. So I think the demographic need is there. The fiscal situation, if we don't address Alzheimer's early enough, is going to be drastic. So the sooner we get innovative minds to work in this field, the better it will be.
And to repeat what we talked about a few minutes ago, if somebody in my audience is kind of afraid that maybe they have Parkinson's disease or maybe they have early signs of some form of dementia, and they're hesitating coming to you, we don't have a whole host of time yet, but they should really come to you, right?
I do think so. I have many, many patients who have come to me suspecting that they have Parkinson's, and I've sent them with good news saying, you know what, clinically there's no evidence of Parkinson's disease. Come back and see us in 3 years or 5 years if you want another. So, you know, it doesn't hurt to get an opinion, to be evaluated. And the diagnosis of Parkinson's, the diagnosis of dementia, is often a process. It's not a one-time, one-test situation. So being with a practice that is experienced in this field is very important.
And so that is a good layup for me to give everybody your contact information again. PBNI, Peter Boy, Nancy, Irene, pbni.com. And you can reach Dr. Dalvey if you'd like to go see him, and I encourage you to do so, because you are accepting new patients.
I am at this point, yes.
561-882-6214. That's 561-882-6214. Dr. Dalvey, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be here tonight. You're a wonderful guest. You have great information. You're doing two talks soon. Why don't you give people how to do that?
So I will be doing a talk for the Parkinson's Foundation, again, focusing on focused ultrasound and surgical treatments. But also I will be doing a talk, I believe it's in February, on lifestyle and how it affects Parkinson's at the Kane Center in Stuart. So contact the Parkinson's Foundation, contact the Kane Center. They have registration set up, and hope to see you there.
And we're getting back in person, so that's a good sign. You can go meet Dr. Dalvey personally. Remember, State Representative Dana Trabulsi here on December 6th. We're here every Monday night. We encourage you to join us. Dr. Dalvey, thank you again. PBNI.com. Look up Dr. Dalvey. Go see him if you have any questions, if you have concerns. I promise you won't be disappointed. Scott Greenberg, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. Here every Monday night, hopefully giving you the information that you need to live your best life possible. We'll see you next week. I want everybody to have a great week. Get vaccinated. Please get vaccinated. It's so important. Do it this week. So next week, when I say that, you can tell me you have been vaccinated. Have a great night. Dr. Dalvey, thank you again. We'll see you all. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Good night, everybody.